Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So from the pistol, they operate first and 10, their own 8-yard line. They'll go inside again and rip down for a loss on the play by Derek Tangelo. Back at the 6-yard line at second and 12. Back, waits, pressure from Filbert, gets away, far side, hit and knocked out of bounds by Smith. Filbert on a fine defensive play. He never gave up on the play. Excuse me, I'm going to say that was Izzard. Gave up on the play, Keziah Izzard. Christian wants to throw. He's got some time. He delivers near side. High in the air, caught inside the 10 to the 11-yard line, to the 9-yard line, and a first down. And Jahan Dotson has just become the sixth player in the history of Penn State football, fourth player overall, sixth ever, to get 1,000 yards receiving. And the Nittany Lions are in the Del Grosso Sauce red zone for the first time today. Washington rolling right, Bayou. Christian looks, waits, delivers. Dotson, 30-yard line, 35. Gets a block, Lambert Smith, 40, 45. Hit finally, it dropped at the Penn State 49-yard line and the first down. First and 10, Rutgers 17, far hash. Low snap, back to pass. Bayou, trouble, steps away, throws in the end zone, reaching up, caught. Touchdown, Penn State, Parker Washington. He fought off pass interference and scored. Rutgers has eight guys around the line of scrimmage. Motion toward us by Washington. Bayou rolls right play action. Bay throws downfield. Wide open, Mega 50, 40, far sideline, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State. They dig in here. Vedral in the gun with Young to his left. Langen in motion toward us. Vedral takes it. Back. Pressure. Steps up. Hit. Ball's loose on the turf. Recovered by Young. It doesn't matter. Penn State gets it on downs at the 11A. Brilliant stand by the Nittany Lions again. Turns.
Nope.
Play action fake. Waits. Delivers downfield for Warren. Reaches up. Flag goes down. Warren makes the catch anyway. Inside the 35 and the 32. Bayou on first and goal at the 7. Christian takes it. Christian gives it a lead. Sweeping to the far corner, to the 5, to the edge. He's got it. Touchdown, Penn State. Game set and match. Nittany Lions, they lead it 27-0. The show blitz with Chismar. Back, Wimsett throws, and it's intercepted by Jonathan Sutherland. His first career interception at the 39-yard line. Penn State pitches a shutout, and Christian Bayou comes off the bench when Sean Clifford gets hurt, throws for 235 yards and 3 touchdowns, and the Nittany Lions win it over Rutgers 28-0. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, whatever your insurance needs, motorcycle, boat. You want to go with the best in the business, and that's Purdy Insurance. They'll take care of your insurance policy along the way because there's always updates that are needed. That's fabulous. All with Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Corey Geiger today at 3:35. Donnie Collins on the show today as well. Penn State basketball tonight. Cornell Jordan Center, 6:30, 6 o'clock, the airtime. And 1 week from today, Santa.
Ho,
from 6
ho,
to
ho.
7. Chad, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Steve?
Doing great. Always great to hear you on the other end.
Thank you. Good to be here today. Filling in for Matt in the big producer's chair.
Always in capable hands when you're here, my friend.
Well, thank
Always
you.
Always in capable hands.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Santa this year. I'm helping out again, but I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing. I'm not hosting this year. Miss Ann's back. But
wonderful.
I will be part of the show behind the scenes, so it shall be fun.
Now, your children have been a part of this.
They have. Both kids have been on for years. This is going to be the first year my daughter is not officially on because she is now aged out of it. But my son will be on mid-December, so looking forward to bringing him down to do this once again.
Well, as they've always said about the Masters, which I think does apply for this, it is a tradition unlike any other. More than, 80 years of doing this, the Magic Radio, and it all starts a week from tonight. From 6 to 7. I've got the times right, correct?
Yep.
6 to 7.
And what I always think is interesting is the number of people that come with their children or grandchildren and talk about when they came and did the same thing. So truly just a generational thing that's been going on for a long time.
Yeah. No, it is. I think it's just... I think that is what, to me, when you're looking... And I've said this many times, so I'm not speaking out of turn here. People have always heard me say this, but you know, to me, that's what local radio should be all about, right? You know, you can do all the syndicated stuff you want, you know, and you do need syndicated programming. There's no getting around it. But I think it's really cool that we do that. It's just that connection with the community was just phenomenal.
And the number of people that have said to me over the years that even though they don't have kids that are on the show, they still listen every night because they just find it fascinating and entertaining.
It's fun. It's fun. You know, the Magic Radio is fascinating. And I'm so thrilled that we do this all the time. Thrilled. Okay, Saturday. You just heard the highlight package from Saturday, and Saturday was a day I've never really... It's one thing about this. Elements happen that you haven't experienced in your career before. And that was Saturday. I've never been around a team where 35 guys... 35 guys. You didn't know if they're going to be able to play or not. Six of them attempted to play. Attempted. And just couldn't go any further. I mean, they got out there for a series or two, and they just couldn't go any further. On Friday, they do one last practice on Friday. The quarterback on Friday was Mason Stahl. Why? Sean Clifford, Christian Veau, and Taquan Roberson all were not available because of illness. Roberson didn't dress on Saturday. Sean was on IVs. I saw Sean on Thursday. I'm like, oh, geez, I wonder if he can hang in there. Sean was actually practicing with a mask on the other day. I'm thinking, I wonder if he can hang on here. Well, Friday he was a no-go. Veau was a no-go. Then finally, I think it was Friday night, Veau got the go-ahead to play. Temperature was right, the whole deal. Sean was given IVs on Saturday morning, and if you got to the game early enough before the senior ceremony started and you saw Penn State warming up, you'll notice who wasn't out there. Sean did not warm up. Didn't warm up. And they didn't know if he was going to be able to go until he came out of the tunnel for his senior day introduction. That's when they thought, okay, he's got a shot to play. And he gave it three series, and he just couldn't go any further. He just could not go any further. Caden Wallace, same thing. Couldn't go any further. Early in the week, it was mostly defense.
Later in the week, it was mostly offense. Didn't mean you're completely out of the woods with defense. You notice Curtis Jacobs didn't play. But that's the way the week went. Jahan Dotson. Okay. He was talking about on the post game with us. Now, his roommate is Jesse Lucchetta. He was talking in the post game with Jack and me. I mean, Jack and I did know his circumstance during the week. So we were, you know, I'm not going to get into all of the particulars with Jahan, but you knew he'd give it a shot. And he said that Jesse Lucchetta was bringing, early in the week when Lucchetta was out, Jahan was bringing Lucchetta soup. And later in the week when Jahan was out, Lucchetta was bringing Jahan soup. This is the way it went. This is the way it went. So now let's get to a couple things moving forward. Number one, you won the game and you bought yourself some time. And that might allow this to run its course and you're going to be out of it. You'll be good. Now, last night they practiced, and I can tell you that it's still a little lean out there. Okay, but that's Sunday night. You know, there's certain guys that you look at and say, look, that guy knows how to play. That's not an issue. You know what I mean? They've got today off anyway. And there's no class this week. So that allowed, no class this week gives them a couple things. Number one, let's get to the most important part of it. This has been something that is running through this campus. It is running through this campus. I didn't talk about it last week, but when Penn State played basketball at UMass, I looked around and I'm on the plane and I'm thinking to myself, there are a couple guys here that are not well. And I'm watching them at shoot-around last Monday up in Amherst. And I'm thinking to myself, there are a couple guys out here that are not well. Well, basketball got hit with it to a point. But I never talked about it because, look, I didn't want to take away from what UMass was doing. But now I see what's happened with football and with men's soccer. And like, whoa. Okay? So it's been running through campus. Men's soccer had 12 guys out during the week. Trying to get ready for Hofstra, and Hofstra won the game 8-2. You know, it's not that you can get back out there. How much energy, how weak are you after bouncing back from this? It's normally a 48-hour deal, but still, but you're not, quote, back to full strength. You're just feeling better, but you're not back to full strength. It takes a little bit. So there's no class this week because it's fall break, which means they're not going to be mixed in with the student body, and it's been running rampant through the student body here. So that is a plus that now at least you're separated. Number two, because there's no class, right, you can schedule any rehab or whatever you need for a particular time of day that helps because you can sleep in a little bit and you need your rest with this. Next up, today's the off day anyway. So take some time, watch some tape, make sure you're taking the fluids, getting the vitamins, whatever it may be. You can do that. You can buy yourself some time, and I would guess, and it's only a guess on my part, that the participation numbers tomorrow for practice should be pretty good. It should be pretty good. And then Wednesday should be even better. And let's give Vayu a lot of credit. Stepped in, played really, really well. I'm going to talk more about Vayu in a moment. What a great day for Canada. Vayu, 235 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Theo Johnson, 2 catches. Jesse Lucchetta, couple tackles for losses. Jonathan Sutherland, interception. And Malik Mega, 67-yard touchdown. Oh, Canada. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Christian Vayu, this is where it's so important. You need, you know, playing a guy a game too late is better than playing him a game too early. It's the way it's always been. I've talked about that many, many times. Many times I've talked about that. And Christian Vayu, remember, he was supposed to play at the Bullis School in Maryland last year. They canceled their season. So Christian had not played in a game in 2 years. He hadn't practiced. When spring practice came around, that was the first time he practiced in more than a year and a half. Just pure practice. So you get your clock started now. You're trying to learn the new offense, trying to get your feet under you, trying to get used to the speed. All right, you know, so he made some progress during the course of the spring, and he made some progress during the preseason. Where he really made progress was in those Sunday night developmental scrimmages. That's where he made progress. The more you watched him, the more you thought over and over again, you know, he's looking better and better. And then during the bye week, that was the door that opened for him to take over in the number two spot. Dick in Milton is with us. Hi, Dick. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. I just wanted to tell you, you know, for a guy that spent over 400 days bass fishing in Canada, I was really excited for those guys, all those guys. So give them a shout out because they really played pretty well for a hockey country.
Yeah, I mean, not bad at all for me. I mean, to get into Canada, which is over the years has been okay for Penn State. They picked up like the Yeboah Codys and people like that. This group from Canada they have right now is the best group of Canadian players they've had here.
Well, you remember the guy years and years and years ago in the bowl, what was his name back in a long time ago, the defensive player back in, God, it's been 20 years, 25 years ago. On the Orange, was it the Rose Bowl, Orange Bowl or the Sugar Bowl? You know it better than I do. Didn't he intercept the pass in the goal line? Or?
Yeah. Oh, man, who was that?
Yeah. I'm drawing a mind blank, and you usually don't. I guess is my point.
Yeah, well, I mean, after a while, some stuff's starting to run together.
But anyhow, I was very excited when the quarterback got in there, and those guys, they really playing well.
Well, they did a heck of a job, and all of them contributed to the win in big ways.
Yes, I know that. Maybe it'll take over hockey as a national sport in Canada pretty soon.
The national sport of Canada, my friend, is lacrosse. Did you know that?
Yes. No, I would have thought it was hockey, but
I know everybody thinks it's hockey. I'm thinking, really? Supposedly it's lacrosse. I'm like, golly, crazy.
It's an Indian sport, so I guess they have lots of Indians up there.
Could be. I don't know. But that's, yeah. And wrestling got off to a great start. Great to have fans back in Rec Hall, right, Dick?
It was exciting. It was really exciting. I was there. See you, Steve. Oh. Thank you.
Hey, Dick, thanks. All right.
The weather is getting cooler and the leaves are changing in central PA. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. If your current agent is falling short, it's time to give Purdy Insurance a call. We're a local, family-owned independent agency ready to find the right insurance to fit your needs. You can call us at 570-286-5855, stop in our office on Market Street in Sunbury, or head to our website at purdyinsurance.com to find out what we can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. They are the best in the business, updating policies, taking good care of policies, taking good care of you, because customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Fabulous selection of pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And Great time to deal with a great service department to back it up. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Very pleased to be joined by old friend Corey Geiger from DK Sports Pittsburgh. Corey, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. How's everything going today, buddy?
Going okay. How about you?
Fantastic. What a beautiful day. I'm driving my kids around. I'm getting ready to start my show here in 30 minutes and hopefully getting ready to find out about a contract or something tomorrow, Steve.
So we'll all find out together. First of all, to you and your family, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you have
Thank
a great
you.
Time on Thursday. So to you and your family, happy Thanksgiving. Saturday was, you kind of felt like it was O Canada Day. The way it played out. Veyu, Mega, Sutherland, Johnson, Lucchetta. Let's start with the obvious guy, and that's Christian Veyu getting his first chance to get out there and play. What did you think of the performance?
I'll tell you, he came in, he passed the eye test, which to me is an important thing with a quarterback. Obviously, the numbers were good, but he just looked comfortable. He was... Look, if you didn't know that guy had never played a college game, there's no way you could have known. And I think that is an incredible testament to a freshman, really, stepping in that kind of situation. You know, so I give the kid a lot of credit. He certainly looked poised and confident. He made some good throws, some really tough throws. Took off and had a good run on a play. He just showed good instincts, and for a guy that didn't play his last year of high school football, Steve, it was impressive. There's no question.
Yeah, played it down in the game in 2 years. He didn't practice at all last year, which is remarkable.
Pretty amazing, I'd say. And, you know, look, the follow-up question, the obvious question then is, well, why didn't he play against Iowa? Why didn't he play against Illinois? Okay, well, James said he wasn't ready and that he spent this time improving. And, look, Steve, that very well could be the case. It's been 6 weeks since Iowa. You know, I'm sure he got better in those 6 weeks, and that was, you know, certainly good to see. I will tend to believe that James went with loyalty in giving Taquan Roberson the first shot because Taquan's been there for 3 years. And I don't know that there's anything necessarily wrong with being loyal to the guy. Look, Taquan was put in a tough spot at Iowa. All those false start penalties. It was 3rd and 25 every time he got out on the field. But the way Christian looked against in that win, the way Christian Veyu looked, it certainly makes you kind of wonder if he would have been in that Iowa game if Penn State holds on to win that game.
Well, then there's other elements too, because he wasn't the only one that had to step in. Jack Hamm and I were calling out names on Saturday, some of which we normally don't call out unless it's the blue-white game. That's what I found remarkable is that there were 35 guys that were really on that list of, and I think I want to say 5 or 6 of the 35 gave it a shot. A couple of them made it through. A couple didn't make it out of the first quarter. What do you think about it? I don't care who you're playing. What do you think of the fact you're able to somehow win a game and doing it that way?
I think that there's a lot of really, really, really good football players in that 100. I mean, we can talk about 85, but there's probably good walk-ons as well. I think there's a lot of good football players on that Penn State program, and, you know, just because we don't hear of guys. Hey, Steve, I really liked Malik Mega in those scrimmages in the spring.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I wondered why it took so long to get him. I mean, he looked really good in the spring, but it just goes to show when you're behind a bunch of other good players, you know, sometimes it's just gonna take time. And I think it's a testament to the roster strength, top to bottom, that they're able to, you know, go in and be able to do that. Now, again, the opponent does matter. I can't believe, Steve, I cannot believe Rutgers' offense is that bad. It's unfathomable to me. And I know Penn State's defense is really, really good. But when you talk about the eye test, I mean, Rutgers didn't pass the eye test at all offensively with what they tried to do. So it was really kind of a perfect storm. For as bad of a week as it was for the Blue, that's the opponents you want to have the flu game against, because Rutgers really stood no chance.
All right. I've got to ask you about this one, and this is a story I'm going to get into again later in the show. But the Alston case, and by the way, if you had Alston plus eight, you lost. It was a 9-0 Supreme Court ruling about the ability to give athletes assistance. Most people talk about iPads, things like that. But Ole Miss is now going to break some ground, and they're going to give checks of $2,990 now, and another check of $2,990 to each one of their 415 student athletes for being academically eligible. What's your thought on that, and where we're going with this?
Okay, my thought's going to be a little different than maybe people listening to your show would expect, because they're Penn State fans. And can Penn State afford that? I'm sure, even though Penn State's got 31 athletic programs, and that spreads you out. Steve, I've covered St. Francis for 20 years. I went to the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. I come from a little bit more of a background of the smaller schools. Yep. What I don't like about any of this is that I think we tend to think of college sports as Penn State, as the Big Ten, as the SEC, as these power schools. That's 25% of college sports. The other 75% are these smaller schools that I just think you're going to put into a bind of, I mean, they can't afford that kind of stuff. There's no way my alma mater, Arkansas Little Rock, could do that. They don't even have football. There's no way St. Francis could do that. Could Ohio do that? Can Central Michigan? You know, there's a lot of other factors that I don't like. And what I think, Steve, is that all of this ultimately will lead, now this is 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever, to a separation in college sports, to where the power programs are their own entity. It's their own college football entity, college basketball entity, and then everybody else basically is a Division II kind of thing.
See, I mean, what's interesting is that some people have proposed that if you are, for example, Dean's List or a graduate or whatever, Ole Miss is doing this, is that if you are academically eligible, this is how you're going to get the money, one half on October 15th, the other half on March 15th. And it's interesting that some people are going to follow this lead right away. They're going to tell you that every school in the SEC is going to do this. And guess what? If you're only giving out money to those who have achieved academically and not to everybody who's eligible, it's going to be using you against recruiting. I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of perils here, you know, but you know, I've got a little bit of a dinosaur argument there. I've always felt that the scholarship was enough. But at the same time, and I'm not going to ignore the elephant in the room, if your coach or a coach is going to be making $8, $9 million a year, then I have come to believe that, no, the scholarship isn't enough. I mean, Mike Corman from statecollege.com wrote a number of years ago that if you're Penn State for 5 years, you know, redshirt year, if you're there for 5 years and you're an out-of-state student, that scholarship's worth $240,000.
Exactly.
Well, I've got a lot of friends, Steve, that came out of school with 50, 80 grand in debt, and it impacts their marriage. It impacts their mortgage. You get married to somebody that's 50, 80 grand in debt. Now you got 150 grand in debt between the two of you. So I've long believed that getting out of school for free and no scholarship or no debt is a major benefit that these athletes have. But at the same time, I am very aware that if the coaches' salaries have just exploded. And if coaches are going to be making $7, $8, $9 million a year on the backs of the hard work of these athletes, and these athletes are the one funding the $500 million operation, then hey, I've come closer to accepting and understanding why they should get theirs. But again, my argument is different for the smaller schools, the smaller Division I basketball
programs. They can't compete with that. Can't compete with it.
Yeah.
And believe me, if you're talking about Arkansas Little Rock or you're talking about St. Francis, they're attempting to compete at a Division I level in basketball. And that's, you know, and the question is, you can't just do it for one team and not do it for everyone. At Ole Miss, the number is going to be right around $2.5 million each year, budgeted for 415 student athletes. Penn State has about 800. So for Penn State, it would have to be, that number would have to be between $4 and $5 million.
Hey, look, Steve, I've preached this for years. The women's volleyball program up there, phenomenal, exceptional, national champions. Wrestling, national champions. You're gonna give a fourth string linebacker money when you're not, if you can't give it to Roman Bravo Young?
Oh yeah, I think that's a problem.
I think that's a potential problem.
Well, let's take the wrestling argument a little bit further. Okay, this is where a sport like wrestling, or let's take baseball for example, this would help. Because they would not get the payment directly, because wrestling has 9.9 scholarships. That's it, 9.9. So that means you've got a lot of guys that are on 10%, quarter. Hey, it's bonus day at the ballpark, you got half. Which means they're taking out student loans.
Yep.
And according to the rule, the way I read it, this money would go to pay off student loans for those athletes in that situation.
That would help if you can get the money for those kids. And again, Penn State,
Ole Miss is giving it to every one of them. Everyone that's academically eligible, all 415 will get it.
And again, the people listening to your show, Steve, obviously are going to most likely be Penn State fans, and they're probably like, "What's the big deal? Penn State's got the money." But again, not everybody has the money, and if people give a damn about St. Francis or Arkansas Little Rock, well, you should. Because that's who these people play. How do you think Duke gets 32 basketball games a year? How do you think St. Francis, or how do you think Penn State? Penn State just played St. Francis Brooklyn, which is a member of the Northeast Conference. That's how you got to have these smaller schools for the bigger schools to be able to play their schedules and everything. So there is a measure where everybody should, you know, be able to benefit to some degree. But again, I just see all of these aspects, Steve. All of them playing out to where it's going to be such a massive divide between these Power Five programs and everybody else that I just don't know how it's going to be sustainable to call it college athletics.
Because I mean, and this will create an even greater divide. There's no getting around it, because Arkansas Little Rock and St. Francis, for example, can't put, let's just pick a number, 40,000 people into a football stadium and get some money from tickets for that.
Can Pitt?
You can't do it.
Can Pitt do that, Steve?
No.
I'm sorry. That's a low blow. I apologize to the Coastal Division champion, Panthers. But that's the point. Just because Penn State can get 107,000 people doesn't mean that 95% of the rest of the programs, and even Purdue, Indiana, Illinois, these places aren't drawing massive amounts of fans. And they still got responsibilities financially.
And then, to me, that puts more pressure on Kevin Warren. He's got to come up with a TV contract between now and, I'd say, I don't know, September, October next year. They're going to come up with a TV contract that enhances everybody, including the Purdue's and Indiana's out there.
Steve, I go way back with you all the time, all the amount of time you spent talking about the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit. This is all just so fascinating to me. I think all of this is extremely important. I'm glad you talk about it. I talk about finances a lot on my show, covering the Pirates. I mean, finances are a huge thing. Yeah, you have to. But that doesn't mean fans care or want. You follow what I'm saying, Steve?
Yeah.
I think everything the Pirates do comes down to money. But that doesn't mean talking about it that people, readers, listeners, care. I think it almost goes in one ear and out the other. So it's difficult to strike that balance, I think, of giving it the amount of attention that it should have.
Right, and those are choices that we have to make, and it's a choice I've always made, because I've always thought you've got to let the fans know what makes the world go round. Now, if they want to reject it and listen to something else, that's fine. But I also feel like it's part of our job to educate people as to what makes it go round.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, because especially some of the teams that I covered have been around the financial aspect, even minor league baseball.
Yes,
fans don't have any idea how little money minor league baseball players make, and yet they've got to spend all this money on housing. Well, now Major League Baseball is going to pay for their housing. That's one of the biggest stories in the history of minor league baseball. Seriously,
yep.
The contraction and these are two of the biggest stories we've ever seen in the sport, and so it is important that people understand, those financial elements.
Corey, absolute pleasure. Appreciate it very much. Great to talk with you. Happy Thanksgiving to your family. Happy Thanksgiving to your beautiful family, by the way.
Thank you, too, Steve. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well.
That's Corey Geiger, DK Sports Pittsburgh. Next half hour, Donnie Collins will join us. We'll take a break. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street and Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yes, that is a week from tonight it all begins. Talk to Santa, the Magic Radio. Chad, somewhere in here, will have a role, which is phenomenal, which is great. I'm happy to hear that. And it's when you do something is that much fun for more than 80 years, really cool. Big fan of the Jolly Old Elf. I mean, huge fan. I mean, big time. I mean, that's me. Big fan, Jolly Old Elf. Now, the bothersome part is that, what, is it five children a night?
Usually, yes.
Yeah. What bothers me is when the suit goes in and acts like he's one of the little kids. Like, what are we doing here? I don't understand, Chad. I don't get it.
I think if you let him do it once a week, it appeases him. But when he pushes the kids out of the way to get to the mic,
it looks like Costanza at the birthday party throwing kids out of the way as he gets out of the house. It's like the same thing. It's our, this is our guy, the George Costanza of suits. All right, Florida situation. Dan Mullen's out. And they're going, this will mean that Florida football players, when they convene in the spring for spring practice, will be on their fourth head coach in 8 years. Will Muschamp, Jim McElwain, Dan Mullen, and fill in blank. Fourth coach, 8 years. Unbelievable. He went from the SEC championship game last December, where they lost to Alabama 52-45, to being out of a job. 10.5 months later. Wow.